Now it's time for this.
News Talk's Executive Chair.
Thanks to Vodafone Business. With Microsoft 365 from Vodafone, your business can bring the team together wherever they are. See vodafone.ie/business.
Delighted to welcome to the Executive Chair, Luke Mackey. He's the CEO and co-founder of COTA. Luke, you're very welcome to the programme.
So excited to be here, Bobby.
Great to see you. And let's start with your early days, Luke. You're a young man, but you're from Dunleary. I see you around the place, actually, now and again. But tell me this. You started your first entrepreneurial endeavour as a young fella was selling Christmas trees. Was that up in the Woody's car park or somewhere?
No, it wasn't. It was there was a Christmas tree lot at the top of my road, and I was probably about 8 or 9, and I wanted a job. I don't know why I was attracted to selling Christmas trees. It was probably just a negotiating on the spot. But I walked up there every single day until the fella who ran it gave me a job, paid me $5 an hour, and then the next few years I got hired again until I was kind of just running it until I was about 15 or 16.
Which good was man.
Break crack, honestly.
Yeah, nope. Hard work.
Hard work, of course. You get up at 6 a.m. and you're pulling trees off the back of it.
And you certainly earned the art of negotiation.
Yeah, well, there's nothing funnier than it.
You would say it's only a branch, you say to the guy.
Yeah, usually entrepreneurs are either selling Christmas trees or lemonade or something. Like, they're up.
Educated at CBC Monkstown. Marketing then was studied at NCI. Lovely. How did that go?
Great. Yeah, I think I wouldn't say I was the most gifted school student. I was someone that kind of, if I didn't like something, I'd definitely put the pen down. But marketing was something that felt a little bit more intuitive. I loved it. I actually didn't even know I wanted to do marketing. I actually wanted to be an airline pilot. So kind of a very clear change to kind of what my body was telling me I should really be doing.
You're a very tall man. What height are you?
6'3".
Yeah. So yeah, you might have had to bend over getting into the small airport aircraft.
Apparently, so the Pileatus PC-9, which is the plane that the Air Corps fly, I'm too big for it now, so I'll be able to get back in.
Wow. Right. Tell us about then Bamboo, the startup that you set up. And again, was that born? How did that come about?
Yeah. So. This is kind of why I love college, to be honest. I love college because it was something that I really fell into, and I enjoyed the lectures, and it was marketing. It was basically kind of figuring out consumer behavior. And while I was there, I started a little marketing agency with a friend of mine from school, a guy called Tom Campion. Years ago now, this is like 2015. And when I was there, we were selling like websites to restaurant entrepreneurs. So basically giving them the ability to like set up a website, have a social presence. So I got to know all of these kind of these really cool people that were really talented and cared a lot about like their craft. But I'd be working from these places and realizing that there'd be huge queues. People would be walking in a queue, looking at their watch, getting frustrated, going back to work. And I was like, there's got to be an easier way. People are ordering taxis on their phone, ordering food on their phone. I was like, this is going to definitely find its way into the coffee shop and the restaurant. You know all about this, Bobby, with insomnia. So I started texting my order to my local coffee shop myself to see if it worked. And after about 2 weeks, I was arriving to get my coffee, and I see about 3 or 4 coffees sitting there. I was like, there's definitely something here. So basically came up with the idea, started designing what it could look like. I had no technical skills to build it, but I just started speaking to people and showing other people what I think this could look like. And then I met my friend, or met my co-founder, ultimately a guy called Alan. We showed it to him, and he was doing something similar in DIT. So we were both college students at the time. And we decided, listen, instead of just going and finishing college and going trying to get a job, why don't we just try to do this? We have a little bit of savings. We had an idea. We had something we wanted to pursue. We decided, let's go and get a co-working space desk somewhere and let's just hammer at this all summer. We tried it. We ran out of money multiple times. We tried to go for some EI grants and stuff. We finally got it. And then, long story short, we launched the company in like 2017. It ran for about 4 years. We were doing a really large volume of orders, about 30,000 orders a day. We had 150,000 people use the product. But ultimately, it was a hard business.
Yeah. And you know what? When you reflect on your learnings there, a startup, how difficult it is to come up with something that's, you know, groundbreaking, that to get people to think differently, to get people to raise the money, all that stuff.
Trying to get people to use something like 3 days a week, difficult. And getting them, and we had that. We had people, our average order was like 3 days a week. It's like, wow. So we did something really cool.
So even after maybe a kind of a painful demise of that business, was your energy to do the next thing? I know you joined Bolt then, so you went to employment of sorts.
Yeah, I think.
But was that just to steady you down a bit and maybe settle things down for a while? And
yeah, listen, yeah. I didn't walk away with anything, so I probably wanted a steady income for a while. But if I'm honest, my confidence was probably on the floor a little bit.
Sure.
I get punched in the head a little bit when something doesn't work out. So I applied for a few places and I really liked Bolt, mainly because it was like a marketplace, it was consumer tech, and it was a big problem, which was in transport. And when I got the job, it was kind of like, I was 25. So 25 going in as a GM for a new big international company coming into Ireland was really kind of a surprise to me, but I loved it. It was great. The whole goal there was just to launch them in the market and be competitive. And we, in a pretty insane launch time because it was COVID.
Yeah.
If you remember correctly, like 2021 or 2020 time, you marketing about food delivery or taxis, it was almost insensitive.
Yeah.
It was like you'd be offended by it. So we had to be very careful about when we went out and how it worked. And we had one of the biggest launches that they had. It was great. And we went live in December 2020. It grew really rapidly. We had some really good partnerships in place. And that's actually where the idea for Coda actually came from.
And so you part of your remit when you were working with Bolt was to find a benefits package for employees, which you struggle with, dealing with financial advisors, dealing with pension people, and you decided to tell us what Coda actually is then.
Yeah, well, I'll bring it back. I remember when I got the job and I was negotiating on the contract, and I had the talk. I was brought into the kitchen with my mum and my stepdad, and they, Barry and Mairead. And they sat me down and go, Luke, you need to make sure that you've got a strong pension going into this job, because you didn't have anything in the last thing. You need to be thinking about them. These are my mum and very into
parents always talk. That's what dads and mums say.
So I kind of went in pushing myself, and then every interview that I did with anyone who joined or any in the process of negotiating the contract, they all asked for the same thing. And I was like, everyone was like, I'm assuming I'm getting pension, assuming I'm getting health insurance. I was like, yeah, of course, yeah, we've already set that. We're going to set that up. So here I was from two sides. One, as the end employee, wanting to make sure that I had the best package in place for myself, because my parents were saying this is something I should do. And then the other was from the manager side. I have to make sure I've set this up and it's running smoothly. And it was just really painful. It was like one of those things where you're like, wow, that was just, no one's replying to my emails. Everything's over email. It's PDF files. It's printing it out. It's scanning it back. It's just like, this is really difficult. Why is it so difficult? And it was really expensive. We were a team of six or seven people. And there were people who were trying to charge us thousands of euro to set up a pension. And when I finally set it up, I put it in front of the team. I go, here's what you need to do. You're going to be enrolled in our health insurance plan. You just need to go click on this link or just fill out this form for the pension. Not a single person signed up for the pension.
Yeah.
We were given a 5% match. And that kind of rang a few bells, because in the office every day, if people were pulling out the phone and pulling out Revolut and investing on Revolut, I was like, clearly there's a huge gap between the user experience between what an employee in 2021 at that point in time versus 2025 now, and what was being put in front of them by insurance brokers. So what we do at Coda is we make employee benefits like stupid simple for companies to set up.
Love it.
And really simple for the employee to enroll in.
And would I be right in saying, I think you said you have a tailwind behind you with the auto-enrollment now on the local, on the Irish market. Firstly, I know you've raised quite a lot of money. Where are you at, like, in terms of number of customers, sales, that kind of thing?
Yeah, so we started the company in 2022. We launched in 2023. In total, we've raised over 20 million euro. We have tens of thousands of users and members, employees, and we've on our platform business, which is what we sell in Ireland. We have over 200 companies, and we're seven figures of revenue. So we're growing really quickly.
So 23 million. What do you do with all that money? Where does it go?
Build a really good product.
Yeah,
best tech for our customers. We build something that is like, if you look at how pensions work in Ireland, if we speak to a company, go, okay, you've got an occupational pension in place. How many of your employees are using it? It's usually about 40%. So if you're giving, if you have 100 employees, only 40 of them are actually enrolling, which is insane. So we're like, we don't have that. We have about 85% enrolling. So our tech is really easy for them to enroll in, manage it, pause their pension, increase their pension, be able to actually see what's going on. And then for the team, it's just like the HR team, they just don't deal with it. It just automates in the background. So we've built it so it's kind of quite streamlined. Yeah.
And now that it's become, auto-enrollment has become mandatory per se.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you finding that a lot of companies are coming to you that have done nothing about this and they're worried about the deadline?
Yeah, it's a mix. There's like this, an element of curiosity, and I'll explain kind of what we're doing to try and help kind of ease that curiosity and give some reassurance. But this is there's a lot of people who actually don't know if this is going to happen. And we're kind of pulling the hair out because we're like, Dara Cahirley has already said this is happening. Get ready. You need to have everything set up by November. You've got a CEO appointed last week, Dermot Griffin. You've got ads all over the place. It's like, this is happening January 1st. And but whether people like it or not, they're going to get emails and letters from revenue on in December to say, have you set this up? So we have built something that means that if you're a workplace pension or if you're an occupational pension, if you want it, we're going to make sure that you're going to be order and roll compliant or order and roll ready. So all of your employees are immediately pushed into the scheme. There's no chance they fall out of the scheme and fall into the state scheme. The problem with the kind of the state scheme or the government scheme is that you don't want to be running two schemes. You don't want, if you've got people falling out of it, like I said, there's only 40% of people actually enroll in these things. If you want people falling out of it, you don't want to be managing two, and you don't want to be in a place where you've got only up contributing 1.5% to an employee, and you might be giving them 5%, for example, as a company. Now you've got your contract saying we're giving you 5%, but you're stuck in this thing for 1.5%.
Yeah.
It'd be a mess. So we completely have put a load of companies at ease for that. We've done something like you, actually, Bobby. We started a roadshow. We're going around Ireland. We're going to 10 different counties, like 18 different events over 6 weeks. We're sitting down and doing breakfasts and dinners with these HR people and kind of talking to them about what's going on.
Nothing like getting out and
hitting the pavement.
Hitting the pavement, working the shoe leather.
Yeah.
Okay, well, listen, we wish you every success with it. It sounds like, and, you know, fair play to you for doing a startup, as I say, treading water for a while with somebody else and then coming back to the, because you're a true entrepreneur and it's good to see it.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, your energy is great. So Luke Markey there, he's the CEO and co-founder at Coda, and we wish him well. Well done, Luke.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Brought to you by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 11 on News Talk.